I put it in your notes. In 1829, almost 200 years ago, Wilson and Porter, two men, they were apprehended in the state of Pennsylvania for robbing the United States mail. They were indicted, convicted, and sentenced to death by hanging. 3 weeks before the scheduled execution, President Andrew Jackson pardoned one of the two men, George Wilson. I don't know why the other one wasn't pardoned. It wasn't in the story. But this was followed by a strange decision, which may be without precedent or parallel in our history. George Wilson refused the pardon. This gave rise to a legal question. Can a condemned criminal refuse the presidential pardon? The question finally appeared before the United States Supreme Court. Chief Justice John Marshall handed down this verdict. A pardon is a deed to the validity of which delivery is not complete without acceptance. Hear that again. A pardon. Delivery is not complete without acceptance. It may be rejected by the person to whom it was tendered. And if rejected, we discover no power in this court to force it upon him. It's not to be thought that a criminal condemned to death would refuse his pardon. But if he should, the law remains the same. The lesson is made in 3 points this morning. Number one, all stand in need of pardon spiritually. Second, all of us have been offered pardon from God. Third, everyone must accept God's offer of pardon to be pardoned. Let's take a look at each of these in turn. Number one, all of us stand in need of pardon. See, the Bible charges all of us with sin, meaning we're guilty as charged. Your hands go up. Yeah. Guilty as charged. Bible says in Romans 3, verse 9, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As is written, there's none righteous. Nope. Not one. In Romans 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Oh, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But all have sinned. Everybody. Let's go up. Guilty as charged. So it's our sin that separates us from God. It's our sins that put us in need of salvation. It's our sins that put us in need of pardon. And the Old Testament prophet Isaiah said this concerning God's people. In Isaiah 59, beginning of verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities or your sins have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Oh, the consequences of sin separates us from God. And because of that, because of our sins, we need salvation. We need redemption. We need pardon. So sin, just in case somebody said, well, no, I don't sin. By definition, sin means that you've missed the mark. Either you've gone too far, or you haven't gone far enough. Or you've moved too far to the right or too far to the left. You've missed the mark. And so the Bible said, well, everyone has sinned. There'll be times in your life and mine that we've missed the mark. So I can't say, God, you like everything that I've said. You appreciate everything I've done. You can't do that. I can't say to God, everything I think, everything I say, and everything I do is perfectly correct. Can't do that. All have sinned, fallen short of God's glory. I stand in need of pardon. James says concerning our definition in James 4, verse 17, to him that knows to do good, to him it is sin, and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. Now, there have been times in my life when I think, oh, I know I need to do that, but I think I'll pass this time. I didn't do it. Sin. I knew to do good. I didn't commit any crime. I didn't rob a bank. I didn't murder. I just didn't do good when I had an opportunity. Sin. So nobody can say, it may have been a situation in your life. So nobody can say, I haven't sinned. Something as innocent as that, I just didn't do good, that's all. Seems innocent enough. Maybe next time I will. Yeah, but that time we faltered and we failed. In 1 John 3, verse 4, the definition of sin. You know, someone might still say, you know, I don't sin. But it says in 1 John 3, verse 4, whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law. For sin is transgression of the law. See, sin is something you commit. It's right in the text. Whoever commits sin. You're not born with sin in your life. You're not born wretched, depraved, separated from God. You're born precious, on God's side. Biblically, sin is something you commit. It's transgression. Sin is when you know to do good and don't do it. Babies, newborns, don't know that. They don't know to do good. They don't transgress God's law. They're precious in God's sight. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. So biblically, what is sin? You know to do good and don't do it. You commit transgression of what the Bible says. It's all unrighteousness. I just didn't do right. So everyone stands in need of sin. None can say, I'm righteous. I'm okay. So second, all of us have been offered pardon from God. There's the offer of pardon been made. I'm guilty as charged. Oh, but there's an offer of pardon. God's amazing grace, his offer of pardon should fill us with lots of gratitude. Because I've heard people say, Brian, I'm too bad, so God can't save me. Right? They'll say, Brian, I've committed too many sins. God can't save me. Or they'll say, Brian, I've committed sins that are too bad and too many for too long a time. God can't save me. Oh, yes, he can. God offers pardon. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, Paul preaches and he says, now the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. No one's left out. To all men, God makes an offer of salvation. No matter who you are, what you've done, how horrible things you've done, or how long you've done those horrible things, God offers salvation. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore, there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Oh, pardon has been offered. I can be free from sin's law, sin's consequences. Yeah. God makes that offer. It's God's amazing grace. And that's what makes it so amazing. Because someone may say, again, I'm just too bad for too long and have committed too many sins. But God says, no. No. God can make you free. He's making you an offer. Offering you pardon. We cannot write out a pardon for ourselves. Can't do it. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you're saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. I can't write my own script. Say, God, here's what I think, and I'm going to negotiate salvation or pardon for my sins, and here's what I'm going to present to you. No, you can't do that. By grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. Not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're God's workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So God offers us pardon. Offers us. God voluntarily, graciously provided for us a pardon that we need and that we cannot provide for ourselves. That's grace. You know, we sang some songs this morning, and all of them had to do with God's grace, God's power to pardon us. In that hymn, Rock of Ages, not the labor of my hands. No, can't bring that. Said, use the phrase, I think, in the second stanza. I don't have the words of the song here. I think it's the second stanza. Could my zeal forever flow? In other words, if I could just work and work and work 24 hours a day, all day long, never sleep, just work and work, could my zeal forever flow? Could my zeal no respite know, or my tears flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Third stanza, I think, if I remember right, says, nothing in my hand I bring. Nothing. Simply to thy cross I cling. I can't write my own pardon, the rules for pardon. I can't do that. We say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We sang the song, we asked the question, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So God has made an offer of pardon to us. And that brings us to the last point. See, Dennis, I'm not going to preach very long. You, Dennis, that read that and said, Paul, with, I forget about the many, many words, he preached a long time. I'm not going to preach a long time, but I don't want you to get the lesson. Third one, point number one, we all stand in need of pardon. Then second, we've been offered pardon. We've been offered it. But now I need to accept it. I need to accept God's offer of pardon if I'm going to be pardoned. The terms of pardon are abundantly illustrated and they're clarified in the book of Acts. And that was read to us in our text this morning. There were Jews, as Dennis said before he read the text, there were Jews, devout Jews from every nation in Jerusalem. They were there to celebrate that Feast of Pentecost 50 days after the Passover. And then Peter and the other apostles, according to what Jesus said 10 days earlier, they're meeting in Jerusalem. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, the closing verses, I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And Jesus told him in Luke chapter 24, I want you to stay in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. And after Jesus said that in Luke chapter 24, he ascended back to the Father. And then the next phrase is the closing verses of Luke chapter 24. The disciples went to Jerusalem. Now in Acts chapter 2, they're there 10 days after the ascension of Jesus. And Peter preaches unto them a salvation message. He convinces them in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, that they by wicked hands have crucified and slain the Son of God. He says in verse 36, he repeats it. He said, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. Now they're convinced, or guilty as charged. They're convinced we're sinners. We've murdered the Messiah. And they cried out in the same verse, what shall we do? Peter with the others said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then, said, with many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, saying, save yourself. In other words, receive the pardon. The pardon is being offered. Save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. And those that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. And that same pattern of receiving the pardon continues throughout the book of Acts. When Philip preaches to the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, it says they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. When Philip also preaches to the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8, continuing in verse 35, Philip opened his mouth, beginning at the same scripture, preached unto him, the Ethiopian Jesus. That was in last week's sermon. And then it says, as they went their way, they came to a certain water. The eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he responded, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip didn't say, oh, bless you. Everything's okay now. Didn't say that. No. He commanded the chariot to stand still. Right then. They went down both into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. You see a theme here? All through the actions of the apostles, the book of Acts, beginning in Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Philip preaches to the Samaritans. They were baptized, both men and women. He preaches to the Ethiopian when he makes his confession of faith. Stop the chariot. And he baptized him. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas preach to Lydia. And says she attended to the things spoken from Paul. And when she was baptized. Oh, I see. Acts chapter 2, they were baptized. Acts chapter 8, the Samaritans were baptized. Also in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian is baptized. Acts chapter 16, Lydia is baptized. Same thing in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are in jail. And the jailer at Philippi asked them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What's the Bible answer? Well, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in verse 32, the next verse says, they spake unto him the word of the Lord. Verse 33, he and his household were baptized, and they rejoiced, having believed. You see, believing includes baptism. And then in Acts chapter 18, verse 8, many of the Corinthians hearing, believed, and were baptized. There's the pattern, the formula, the recipe. The Corinthians hearing, believed, and were baptized. But here's the closing. We noted in the introduction, George Wilson refused the pardon that was offered by Andrew Jackson. And he chose rather
and receive the pardon to die on the gallows. If you and I had been present that morning in 1829 to witness the hanging of George Wilson, your heart may have thought, how foolish, George. How foolish. You're dying needlessly. There's been an offer of pardon on the table, and you refused it. You refused it. Yet when it comes to eternal life, many people refuse God's offer of mercy, God's offer of pardon. To refuse the terms of God's pardon is to refuse the pardon itself. Remember the opening, in the illustration? Chief Justice John Marshall handed down this verdict. A pardon has been issued, but delivery is not complete without acceptance. It may be rejected by the person to whom it was tendered. And if rejected, we've discovered no power in this court to force it upon him. It's not to be thought that a criminal condemned to death would refuse his pardon. But if he should, the law remains the same. So the question is, why will you die spiritually? Why will you die when a pardon has been offered? Why? The conditions of pardon have to be accepted. The Corinthians hearing, believed, and were baptized. I can't change that. That's the acceptance of God's offer of pardon. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. If you're subject to it, if you've not accepted God's offer of pardon already, you have this opportunity. So let's stand together and sing the song that Jesus has selected for us. If that's your resolve, if that's your desire, just simply let your request be made known at the close of this lesson.